teaching. We've been enjoying. We've been enjoying what you've been teaching from the Word.
Hope I didn't embarrass you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me here. And it's I enjoy and come and visit. I mean, the place I've been there before, and probably, I mean, it's a, as a person who has a gifted in the pastor and teacher, it is a, such a, as Paul says, fulfill my joy. I'm kind of out of context here in that essence, but it's a really nice to see the people who learn things and they apply. Applying and they're what somewhat the, related to what you taught about. And I'll give you an example of this thing. We had a, let's make anonymous, so I don't want to embarrass this lady. My kid went to the, Christina went to this Christian school for some umpteen years. And then typical Christian school, it's you have to have a Christmas program in a Christian school, right? I mean, you're a Christian school, you got to have a Christmas program. And at the end of a Christmas program, they usually have a principal coming up. And it's got to be grandmothers, grandfathers, you know, all the oodles of peoples, and just kind of related with it. These are kids, you know, kindergarten, especially kindergarten kids, you know. And then they're saying that they're the believers and non-believers. And this person, the principal, usually, I've been there about six different, I think five or six different Christmas programs, and the school programs. And then this person, the mostly they usually say kind of gospel of a salvation, quote-unquote gospel salvations. And then which is accept Jesus Christ in the heart. This is a Christmas, and then Jesus Christ was born this day, and in Easter time, he'll be dying for our sin, and accept Jesus Christ in your heart. That's kind of typical things, and I was expecting that, by the way. And then you know the where the script goes. And happened to be, this is a school we changed the school, and then changed the Christian school. And then one year, and then with the old line, Bradford was there, I was there, the Krishna was kind of being queued up there on the platform. And we're kind of sitting there, we sang a song, hymn song, hymn, and the principal comes out, and then she's doing this spiel, the gospel spiel. And her thing was that the believe in death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we're just looking at it, and Lois and I had a death and burial resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I'm having the chills coming down, the goosebumps all over the place. It's like, oh my gosh! And maybe that's the probably time that I have this, some you know, blood pressure going up or get excited about this. And then reason the principal knew how to present a gospel was because there was a teacher who was going to the valley. So she had this teacher's meeting, and of course the principal shared all this kind of nice gospel thing, gospel messages, and took the principal, you know, that's not really what the gospel is. And she went through the really gospel is. And then that statement was really meaningful at that year. And then you will see that, you know, this is our kind of pride and joy in some sense, that when the people see that what we preach, or what we taught, or what we shared, not every moon, by the way, you can share it with each other. Share. And then the parents share it with the kids. And the kids share it with themselves. And then those things work, I mean, those things finally they realize. And then you get I get really joy out of this thing. So there is a, we call it, economists call it externalities. Which that is, that not only that you and I share and get both of them benefit each other, but reading from the guy who read about it or heard about it, third party, out there, somewhere on the other side of the earth, Christians heard about the situations. And then they heard about the situation, and they can be rejoiced because of the situations. Yeah? So when you do this, your Christian life, or we're talking about leading of the Spirit, and you lead on those things, and you just don't think that, okay, I'm getting all the benefit myself. You know, don't think that way, please, because that benefit certainly can expand to the all other Christians. Why do we share? Why do you want to know the Joanna's situation in her spinal cord? Why do I want to know Gary's situation, whether he's, you know, he got fired? He caught fire. He got caught fire. Okay. Why do we want to know that? Because as the deal with this inappropriately, then we really see that how the God is faithful it is. So that's kind of a beginning I like to share with it. And then this is kind of what I like about coming to some places occasionally. Not every day, but occasionally see the people, how the people they're growing, how the people are doing. It's a really joy to see that. Okay? So I'm thankful to you, inviting me and watching you and seeing all of these different kids and they're growing up. I can't even recognize them anymore, Of course, I can't remember their names anymore now, you know. So, let's go to the Word of Bible here. Josh left me with a really good point to pick it up. So let's go to the 1 John 3:18. Let's read that verse one more time, and then we'll just pick up. I'm going to have a tag match with Josh here. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word. Not just don't say things. Neither in tongues, but in deeds and in truth. Okay? When we talk about love, this is a very important that we should have some type of a really good understanding of the love. Okay? You have to be really clear about that. Because when we don't love appropriately, then what's coming down to here is that it's not going to, whatever the action we're going to do based on this love, will not glorify God. Okay? That is a very important to what we do. Because in the love has this little problem. You can't have a problem. You can't have a problem to go into some directions that God doesn't want us to go. By really eagerly eagerly being loving somebody, something, I guess something is a better way of putting it, not just somebody. So we have to have a very clear understanding of what the love we need to do. Okay, the first definition of love, it's a unselfish, for others type of love. So it's a very important to know, because this is a supernatural. You know, we are not talking about parents talking having love to our children. This is more than this, by the way, because I was economics background and I know I really understand the selfishness of man. And we read about this selfishness of man. And a man really does not want to love anybody. And that's what the sin carnal nature does. Okay? We talked about that there's a philanthropist, Bill Gates, or now the Warren Buffett has become a philanthropist. All these people, they want to be a philanthropist. They made a lot of money, and then now they want a philanthropist. And then, is it good? Is it they're loving something? I say not, because they want to be recognized. They don't want to just give you $1 billion to somebody and say, anonymous people gave you some kind of situation. They want to be recognized. That itself is a good they are getting. So this is this love, agape love, is just supernatural love. Please understand that, right? We know that. So this is something that only God can provide to us. And with that, we comes with this love. Always comes with the fruit of part of a fruit of the Spirit. And then from the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to direct this love to someone is a better definition here. Because only place we should direct this love toward is a believer. It's a believer. You direct the love to me, I direct love to you. That's probably what only thing comes down to. And here, that gives you why this can go wrong in 1 John 3:18. 1 John 3:18, yeah, here. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed, action, right? This is action. And in truth, realm of a truth. Okay, we talked about God is truth. We are using that, God's divine attribute, to our lives, in truth. Seeing exactly as it is. So love and truth has to go together. So love, I'm directing my love to something or someone, and I have to know what's the real situation is that. I mean, what's going on with that person? In real truth. In the quality of the truth here. I used to donate money to the, what is a public station? We call the OPB, Oregon Public Broadcasting. Mm-hmm. You guys have one of those, right? Washington Public Broadcasting. When you have kids, you're watching this. We didn't have a cable and all those things at that. We're that antiquated here. Satellite TV. Forget about satellite TV. Mr. Rogers, Sesame Street. That could stop. You know, they teach you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, count all these things. You know, which parents doesn't want their kids to learn 1, 2, 3, 4 before other kids learn it? So we get a better grade in high school. So we're eagerly just kind of like pushing this thing. And there's nice stuff, they're going easy things, and you know. So they make it feel guilty when it comes to this fundraising time. And yeah, we're watching, oh yeah, that's good, you know, okay, that's good. I mean, we can benefit out of this. Kids learn 1, 2, 3, 4, and then ABC. And we feel guilty about it, so we're just sort of donating money when they're kind of asking us to donate money. Their plea is, if I don't donate the money, they have to close or something like this. So we donate the money. And then I didn't realize, from until now, I grow up, you know, it's constantly, we all grow up. Constantly grow up. It said, yes, I'm loving the world in sense I want to promote these broadcastings. That's what I was doing. I'm really loving these guys. And then I was loving wrong object. That's basically what it is. And then that is exactly the situation it talks about in the 1 John 2:15 here. And then this is the case that they're loving. I'm sure these guys are loving. And without looking at the in truth, they're loving. They're eagerly loving here. I mean, they don't want to do some action, indeed, but they're not really understanding what is really loving toward the object. So love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So this eagerness of my deficiency in a young age, okay, which Tim shared, is that my eagerness of loving will might lead to wrong object because I didn't go through the in truth. I didn't really knew that person. I really knew that topic or object on loving truth. That's very important here. Yeah? So, I'm going to just have a little pause of going to backgrounds. Now we're going to go to background of the Philippines. Because Philippines, it's nice to know the backgrounds of it and why this love works out. Love was so important in the Philippines. Okay? Philippines had this background of these two ladies, Eudeus and Syntyche. You can say Mrs. X or Mrs. Y or Mrs. A or Mrs. B, whichever you want to call it. It's fine. And these are two ladies having squabbles. I think a squabble is like this. When you have a business meeting and you want to paint the green, and then Mrs. X will say, well, let's paint the auditorium to green color. Then Mrs. Y will say, no, let's take, for spite of that, spite the Mrs. X, Mrs. Y will say, let's make it beige. Or let's have a dinner table, I mean, the potluck in the first Sunday. Other will say, let's do the second Sunday. See that there's a squabbles and each other, probably one will sit right there and one will sit right there, I'm sure. It's a squabble is going on. It's not really a sinning situation, but it's a squabble. And there's divisions. Follow Mrs. X, follow Mrs. Follower, Mrs. Y. All right. And in that squabble, and Philippines themselves was a really nice church. It was a really reasonably good church. And then there's a squabble between two ladies. And Paul is a building to how do we reconcile, I mean, how do we put this church into unifying positions? What he says here is ultimately comes down to is you love one another. First John again. That's what it comes down to. And then he brings out a little more details about when we love, what is it, really, how do we do about truth? Why are we concerning the truth? Because we have to really understand other person, other objects. That's one issue. Second issue is how do we, our attitude should be with each other. Number three, he brings out how the attitude should be with the master, ourselves, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's three information Paul brings out to make sure the love is well taught so we don't go this veer off to the world, loving the world things. When the veering off the word loving the world thing, it doesn't glorify the God. And then people see, and other people see this, and then they really does not honor the God either because of veering off. Okay? So let's go into the situations. Philippians 1:9. So let's start with the Philippians. I will read to 9 through 11. And this is a prayer of Paul, saying about the love. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. Just keep abounding, keep going up. And experientially knowledge, and in all, I think it's a better wording here, is a perception, judgment, but perceptions. Unto ye may approve things that are excellent. I will just stop at that moment. What is really required of a love? Love is, and he's putting out the point that, Paul is putting out the point that if you're in love, you gotta have really experiential knowledge of the other person. And you really got to know this person. I mean, you really got to know this person. And example I can give it to you here is that we've been involved in the situation where one of our members is kind of lose her house. You know this ninja loans, the teaser loans, the foreclosing stuff going on, and she's one of the candidates. Situation got worse because her husband died. Just whole thing blowing up, and her husband dies, and half of income is boom gone like this. Passes away. And then now you're having this half of income, and you just loan itself was bad anyway. I mean, they're paying about, with husband living, they could pay about 50% of their income is going to go to the loan. I mean, this is a bizarre loan. And now, her husband dies, half of income goes, disappears. Now then what will happen? Or 100% of, or 98% or 95% of whole your income, monthly income, is going to go to the mortgages. People cannot live on 5% of their income, you know. And then this is a really difficult situation. And then you can obviously see that you have trouble. And then we're trying to help this person. We're trying to help this person to keep the house and so that she will enjoy this house. So this is a really loving situation. I mean, the deed, the stage is set, right? Okay. Stage set. Now let's look at this one. Do I really know her? I kind of know her, but do I really know her financial habits? It's very important because once we kind of help her out, then she should be sustaining her. But what I found out was that she was not, I mean, she is in that much debt because she was not financially responsible. I can kind of see this in little dark clouds. Number two, perception. This perception is really keen insight. I mean, keen spiritual understanding of things. This is where the Josh is talking about. This leading comes in. I mean, this might not be, there might be leading there, there might not be, there might be leading there, there might not be leading in there, and situations like this. So that's what really perception, this is what we're getting in the leading here. And thirdly, what was I talking about? That ye may approve things that are excellent, which is what I mean by this. So I'm valuing these things. I'm valuing that this is really worthwhile doing. In other words, I can go the other side, is that I might not do all the loving things, loving things I can do. And we have, I made this illustration of a couple of days ago. We've got about 20 people in here, this congregation. I'm sure if I ask one of you, and you say, you can love me by doing, this is really necessary for me. And I think you all have some, one of those kind of things, right? But I cannot really do everything. I mean, that's you too. You cannot do everything for every loving thing. And then what we're going to have to do here is that we're going to pick something that's really worth doing this in our lives. And that's the situation. How do we know that? That's a good question. How do we know that is worth, I mean, Dwight is more important than Peggy, sorry. Dwight's problem is more important than Peggy, so I decided to work on Dwight's problems. Why? How do I know that? That's where God's leading comes in. It's really, this is a gray area. I mean, I understand Dwight, I understand Peggy. Equal and bad. And situation, I can help either one, but I have to help one. That will be coming from the leading. So, it is a very spiritually sensitive. And you have to really have to understand the what is the other person, each person, and have a spiritual insight to do this. Okay? Now, if we do this way, having a truth, having a, which includes experiential knowledge, and having a keen insight, leading by spirit, then what's going to happen? Okay, let's continue on. Let's see, where are we? That you may sincere and without offense unto day of the Christ. May sincere. Word sincere here is a sun testing. Old times, the Roman times, even before the electricity started, there is not a good light. So only way you can see some fabric or paper is spotless is you look at the sun, against the sunlight first. And then I think even 1910 or something like that, 1920, 1930s, I mean, even seamstress used to do that, I guess. And they put the two fabrics, whether they match or not. I think that's kind of typical test they doing this. Basically saying that sun testing, which means how pure are you, your intentions? That's what it really coming down to. I mean, so it gives you really purity of why am I doing this? It should be, answer should be, that I'm led by God to do this. That's what the real answer should be. But however, there is a possibility that my sin nature, I just want to look good before this God. Bad sun testing. Bad, the failure of sun testing. Right? So we don't want to go there. So, sun testing, because by we have a good intention and good motivations. Next one. It does not aggravate offense, aggravate the situations. I can help this person, and I can help this lady, but problem here is that by helping her, she might get into continuous same habits of financial irresponsibilities. I just add a little more salt on things, right? You can kind of see the picture how it's going now. So I didn't help any, I just worsened the situations. Those things doesn't happen when we do appropriately love in truth. Let's go on the next verse. Furthermore, the result continues. That ye may approve the things, okay, verse 11, being filled with the fruit of righteousness. Now, all these things that I'm doing now is considered as righteousness now. Of course, then, when he gets righteousness, and then we got Bema City thing, you know, got fired, and we get burned up, all the bad things, and now the good thing's gonna happen. This is an act, one of the good acts is gonna survive. And not only that, continues on, and evil, the continued righteous, which are Jesus Christ, unto glory and praise of God. This act will glorify and praise the God. So how does it do that? Because this act was so appropriate, people will think, wow, that was a good act. Even the non-believers will say, that was a good act. I have a good opinion about his God. Because he did it, and that was just awesome. I couldn't believe that he did it so appropriately. I mean, he understood the situation, and he did appropriate interventions, and he did it just right, because according to it. And he will say, this was God did it. So now then, this third person will look at it, wow, that's a good God. That's a good opinion of God. Thumbs up. So, it is really important about truth, learning about truth, about this situation, what you're loving, person loving is. Because that will give us, you know, all throughout the chain reaction to the, especially chain reaction to, and that it will give a glory to God. That's what, and the ultimate result, right and glory to God. Okay, that's the truth aspects of that. Okay, so let's go on to the second part. Second part of Philippians 2. Second part is, how should we have attitude toward each other? And that's, how should a Syntyche and Eudeus should have, what kind of relationship and what kind of attitude they should have each other? This is what a really question we should have. So, when you're loving somebody, love one another, then this is the kind of a relationship, attitude one should have each other. Okay, start with verse 2 here, chapter 2, verse 2. Fulfill my joy, in order that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one soul, of one mind. Let's read on 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through a strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of a mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse 3. Okay, so now, what are we doing in chapter 2? Let us have, in purpose there, ye be like-minded, having the same love. How do we get love? We get being a spiritual. Okay, you are being spiritual. I'm being spiritual. We have the same love. Makes sense. You have the same agape, I got same agape, same kind of agape. And having same agape, we're loving at each other, they give you same emotions. Because we have the same thing, we're going to have the same emotions. We're going to have same reflective thinking with each other, because we both have the same thing. So ultimately it comes down to here, the love will be conduit, or love is a method, the way to make people think same ways, have the same emotions and same mind. That's what he's trying to get at. Okay? That's what it's getting at. All it is. That's all it is. And the way the attitude we should have with each other is, let nothing be done through strife for vainglory, but in lowliness of a mind, let each person esteem other better than themselves. You are more important than I am at this moment. So I'm going to do stuff for you. That's it. That's all it is. It's not that you are better than I am, or I'm better than you are, so I want to be better, I want to feel good about it. You are more important than I am. That's all it is. That's why we want to help. I mean, that's why we're added to, we should help one another. You are more important than I am. So, Gary and I just swept the sidewalk for that. It was a good exercise myself. You guys are more important than I am, so you're coming in and you don't want to slip and break the hip. It was slippery out there today. It's fine. You are more important than I am. So So you have an attitude that you are more than, so, you know, you are more important than each other. It's a very small thing. It's not much that difficult. Then how do I have, that's a relationship between the, brothers to brothers. Let's have a relationship between what kind of attitude shall we have, brothers to the, our God, the believers to the God. So let's look at this. This is what the Trinitarianism comes in here. Okay, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you. So I'm going to go through this. Focus on this mind. What is this mind you're talking about? You have to be very careful of this, what this mind is. Mind be in you, that which has also in Christ Jesus. Here goes one, just clue right here. That Jesus Christ had this mind here, in the mind. And who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I mean, this is a little awkward phrasing, but in American terms, what it really means is not robbery. What it means is that they are, this person is, this stock is so good. It's really have a temptation to snatch it away. Stuff is so good. So just snatching away. That's the idea here. So, but he didn't have to do that, the snatching, because he already had that. This is what the problem, this is not a problem, this is what the fact is. What did he have there when he was a God? He had a position and privileges as God. He didn't have to snatch that. Hey, there was something about, something here saying that you can make a position and a privilege of being a God. Don't you think the people would snatch it away? This is what that term is. So now, this person doesn't have to do that. Why? Because he already was God. He already is a God. He has a position and privilege of God. He didn't have to snatch it. So basically it comes down to saying that he is God. He is God. Okay? But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a bondservant and was made in likeness of a man. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The cross. Remember our submission chart? We had a submission chart. When he was incarnated,
are we doing okay?
Okay. When he was incarnated, when he was taking the human nature, that's when he was in earth, he was way down here. He was taking himself as a bondservant. So what does bondservant do? Obey. Who? Father. So when you read the John, Gospel of John, a lot of those kind of connotation comes in. They're saying that I can't do anything unless God tells me. My miracle is all done by God. It's through me and things like this. And that, because he has established this relationship, Father and Son. And then this is bond servant. It's very important here. Bond servant. Yeah? And then that's reflective thinking the believer should have. Said, we are bond servant to God, a bond servant to Jesus Christ. So what does it sound like here? There's a word for this. I mean, we talked about it in Romans 12:1. We tell Romans 12:1, when we go to this verse, we call it the lordship. Okay. Now, what is a lordship? We consider believers one time in our lives, after saved, one time in our lives, we are determined that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Then what am I? If I determine that Jesus Christ is a Lord, then what am I? I'm a bond servant. So now then what do I do? I'm just basically following what God tells me to do. What it sounds like to you? It's a leading here. In some sense, it's a leading here. And then a lot of times I see that Christians haven't gone that point yet. I mean, wavering or not there. And seeing the sin nature getting in there and then not having the who's really boss is. And this boss, is making this thing is a very important. Because this will give us a lot of far more the results. I'm going to bring in a couple more results here and later. So let's read on this one. And this is a kind of little two things to end here. Verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Let's start with 8. You can just chop, start at 9. We just have to build up here. Let's start with 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, and even death of Christ. Wherefore the God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that is a name Jesus shall knee shall bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. He was highly exalted and given the name, some special name which we don't know. If you really want to have a feel for this name, something close to that is my kids are going to this Catholic school, and they have a big deal. Remember Benedict 1, 2, 3, 4? I'm not sure what the number is, but Pope Benedict came, and there's a big article. This Catholic school, big on popes, I think needless to say. And then just imagine, we are right here, sitting down, or maybe sitting down. Just imagine, let's say you're all Catholics, and Pope Benedict comes in. Then what do you think we're going to do as a Catholic? Standing up and kneel down, or something like this. Or in the military terms, it's all the enlisted people sitting down, general comes in. They all stand up, things like this. It's a highly respected name. When you hear this, wow! You just have to just knee comes down. It's so high. So I'm not sure what the name is. And continue on, verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So don't slack off because I'm not here, guys. I'm not here. And now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So what is Paul thinking when he's thinking, well, work out the salvations? He's thinking about loving brethren and being obedient to the Lord. That's what he's really thinking about when he's writing this one. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He gave you the desired. It's going to be a good pleasure to him. And if you don't do it, we call this quenching the spirit. And yes, we have a possibility not doing this. We might not do this, honestly. And I hope that you're understanding this, and we'll do this when the leading comes. Okay? I hope so. Okay, so now, then why is the Lordship important? So why is the Lordship important? So let's look at the Romans 5. Romans 5, 21. Romans 5, 21. I'm not saying the Lordship is necessary, or I'm not saying the Lordship is required. I'm not saying that if you don't have a Lordship, then you are not believers. You are believers, whether you have a Lord, you have Lordship or not. But what I'm saying is, if you have Lordship, you have a far more benefits, and we experience more eternal lives. That's why I really want to bring it up. That's what I'm saying. Okay, 5:21. Let's start with 20. That the law entered that the trespass might abound, but their sin abound, and grace did much more abound. It's just the sin nature abounds and grace abounds, that as the sin nature hath reigned unto the death, the state of death, spiritual death, even so so might grace reign through the righteousness, And then here's the righteousness talk he's talking about here is positional righteousness. We are in Christ, that's why we're positional. Christ, that's why we're righteousness. Unto, I think it's unto here. Unto the eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Not just Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lord. As you're seeing this, is the Lordship is popping up. So what does that mean? What is that, those three sentences? Resurrection life. We talk about, think about things about love. That's resurrection life. This is image of God, image of what Christ is up there. This is thinking. This is reflective thinking. Now, this will come out as eternal life. How are we going to come out? Unto eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Making Jesus Christ as Lord. John 15:5. John 15 is all about the vine and branch. It's an abiding relationship. Abiding means you're making feel comfortable at home. I kind of thought about it, just thought about the Peggy, because they invited us in living. I mean, they invited her to their house. And you know what irks Peggy? And if I feel my really homes, I leave my dirty socks here, you know, shoes up to the family room, and then dirty shirts on their bathrooms, you know, towels dragging on top of a TV, things like that. I'm making myself home, but she doesn't think it's home. Okay, so point here is making something that really comfortable, and then, there's a two abiding is involved here. The one here is a vine. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, the vine here is Jesus Christ. And he that abides in me, and I in him. He that abides in me, and I in him. This is both way going. I'm abiding to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ abiding in me. They're both ways. Okay? Both ways. Then, what will happen? Then the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Okay? So now, what is abiding here? So, now I'm abiding Jesus Christ. What am I doing? I'm just being comfortable in being a positional truth. I'm abiding Jesus Christ. I'm abiding in position. That's what I'm doing. And then it takes time, it takes effort. I mean, don't think this is the easiest thing that happens. Because we are not really mental people. We are, sure, it didn't come out well. We are not the, how should I say, mentally driven people, or how should I say, we don't practice mentally that much compared to God. And we like to do it on our hands. We kind of use our senses and things like this. So we're kind of trying. That's us. I mean, it's nothing wrong with that. That's us. And then God is like this. And then so when we're teaching the people to be reflective thinking and think about things about above and things like that, it's a difficult task. And it's a practice. It requires practice. So, you know, don't get discouraged with it. You fail. Move on and practice some more. You'll get there. Practice makes perfect, kind of thing. And that's one. So, believer is comfortable in a position in Christ. Same time, Jesus Christ is comfortable in us. Okay? Anybody went to military? Anybody went to military? No? You went to military? Yeah! Was it military? Okay. This is a story somebody told me about this story. This, I thought, a good example of sharing this story. And this guy was a Marine. And the person who shared me was, background was a Marine. Marine is typically the most strictest of military branches. Marine is just, you know, yes sir all the time here. And the next one is the Army and Navy. Air Force is kind of right up there in liberal ideological branches. And then this guy is salute, that's good, it's not that down. Yeah. And then it's kind of military, I mean, Air Force is kind of group, I guess. Now they're cracking down on that, but that's what it is. But Marine, this guy's a Marine. I mean, he's a saluting every time, and his boots are shine every day. You know, he knows how to shine his spit boot and his thing, and haircut it just right and all this. He's been there for 10-some years, he said, and in the military. And, of course, the military, I mean, in the military, officer comes into the room, what do? Enlisted people. You know? All stand up. Yeah, all stand up. Stand up. You know, like a congregation, like, boom, stand up. And we have another person who is I think now he's a colonel now. Colonel in the Air Force. And I think he's a colonel in the Air Force. Now, and then he is a colonel, and he's a colonel in the Air Force. And then, both of guys are coming to church, by the way. Both of guys are coming to church. And then one guy is, he just didn't get rid of his, the enlisted mentalities. Okay? And other guy's fine. Other guy's officer, the Air Force officer, it's fine. There's no big deal with this. And he just cannot get rid of this officer mentality. So just imagine this case, and then this Marine enlisted guy invites Air Force colonel to his home. Why don't you stay in our house? What do you think of how this Marine guy will treat Air Force colonel? No, it's not bad, by the way. I mean, he will treat the utmost respect. Okay? He will treat utmost respect. Are we treating Jesus Christ, who deserved to be our Lord? That's what is called a Romans 12:1 here. See, he deserved to be our Lord. He deserved to be our despot. I mean, there's two words, despot and Lord together. He bought us. And at the same time, he is practically, every day, he should be our Lord of our lives. So, are we treating him that manner so he can be comfortable in us? Do we treat him like our kids? Or do we treat him like this bad next neighbor? You always whine about, God, Jesus Christ, then maybe do this. You know, things like this. I hope not. Because if we do this, the Lordship, this is another level we can, I don't want to say another level. This is not a good word. It's another way we can go up. It's not another way either. It's a kind of growing experience to go up. Thank you. That is good shaping. Growing experience for us that we can continue and even produce more and more fruit because we are abiding. He is abiding in us. That's what God promised. So, love. We have some restrictions with love. You really got to know that you're loving object. Okay? That's one. Number two, with loving one another, I'm doing this because you are more important than I am at this moment. You know you. I know me. Yeah. But you're more important than I am. And in relationship to three, that relationship to Jesus Christ, you're my Lord. I'm obedient to you. Jesus Christ definitely said, love one another as I loved you. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for your grace that not only that you provide and experienced, and so that experience this the divine nature, but you use divine nature to teach other angels, and at the same time, showing that you are revealing yourself for glory. Thank you for being part of that. You're also a good God. Not only that we can be under the Jesus Christ, but you care so that you want to be us to have. You provide the situations in our lives so that we can be able to grow. And you can be able to produce what is happiness. the same time, and you can receive the glory. Thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for being a part of, letting us having a part of this experience. And we just ask that the Holy Spirit has continued to teach us things you want us to know and help us to grow in through leading, guiding, illumination, and worship. We just continue to ask that you will help us in these manners. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thanks a lot.